Nothing lasts forever. No one lives forever. The flower that fades and dies. Winter passes and spring comes. Embrace the cycle of life that is the greatest love. Go beyond fear. Go beyond fear. Beyond fear takes you into the place where love grows. When you refuse to follow the impulses of fear, anger, and revenge. Beyond means to feel yourself.
Welcome to the True Purpose Development Show with your host, Dr. Princess Odelia, the Queen of Inspiration.
Welcome to the True Purpose Development Show. I am so happy to be here today, and I know that all of you are doing what you need to be doing, as we are doing what we need to do here on this side, and that is we are here to inspire, empower, and to educate you as well as entertain. Today, as always, we have a phenomenal guest and show for you today. Today we have Dr. Matthew Knoll, and I'm telling you, this is going to be a phenomenal interview because Dr. Matthew Knoll, many of you know as the father of Beyonce Knoll. He is a record label owner, music manager, producer, businessman, college professor, in case you didn't know, and author. And he's here today to give us he's going to have a wonderful conversation with me, and we're going to talk about his life as an author, and yes, we're going to highlight his wonderful career that he has had, and I'm very excited. We'll go into more detail in just a little bit. Before we get started, I want you all to know that you need to get on the phone with your family, your social media, and let everybody know that we are live and well. And we are going to have a great time. The first hour, we are going to be here with our guest, Dr. Knoll. And then on the second hour, you're going to be keeping it real with the doc. And we are going to talk about some real stuff. I want you to understand that you are the star in your own movie. That means everything, every circumstance, every person in your life, they're there because they're extras in the movie that you star in. How about that? That means that it's all good. Everything is all good. We have some great news coming up. As you know, this show is brought to you by the nonprofit organization Bountiful Opportunities Group. And Bountiful Opportunities Group has been helping people help themselves since 1999 through our programs and services. We have some great upcoming events, including we'll be back in Abuja, Nigeria next year for Independence Day. The True Purpose team will be there speaking to over 10,000 youth in Abuja. And we will be igniting transformation as we do all over the world. I want you to visit us online at bountifulgroup.com and stay in tune. Also, I want you to get ready for the upcoming semester for credit and business development and keep us posted on your life's transformation, your journey, because we're here to help you. We're going to be right back after this brief break with Dr. Matthew Knoll.
Just let my love adorn you, Anthony, please, baby. You.
Welcome back to the True Purpose Development Show. Here's Dr. Princess Odelia.
Welcome back. All right, welcome back. Oh, I'm so excited today. I want you to get ready. This first hour is going to be absolutely awesome. We have Dr. Matthew Knowles in the studio with us today, record label owner, music manager, producer, businessman, college professor, and author. Dr. Matthew Knowles is best known for launching the career of his daughter, Beyonce Knowles, who is noted today as one of the most recognizable figures in contemporary music with record-breaking sales, literally a pioneer in the music industry, as well as Destiny's Child, the R&B girl group that became one of the most successful Americans of the late 90s and early 2000s. He has also managed other successful artists like Kelly Rowland, LaToya Luckett, and his daughter, Solange Knowles. Today, Dr. Matthew Knowles chats with me regarding his life as an author and his life after his long tenure managing his daughter, Beyonce, as the author of DNA of Achievers, 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. It's a wonder that this book is ranked high on Amazon, as he is a walking testimony of success. From the experience of his past, growing up through the era of the civil rights and even attending an all-white school, he enlightens us in his next book, of some personal reflections and how he made it through to be who he is today. Via his book, Racism from the Eyes of a Child. This interview and conversation, I'm excited to say, and I know for sure, is going to be one that we all will remember. And we'll hold on to this as we do here on the True Purpose Development Show, highlighting the stories that bring us to great testimonies. Dr. Matthew Knowles, are you there?
I am here. How are you today, Princess?
I am absolutely awesome. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Let me tell you why. I get to live my dream every day.
Yes, you do.
That makes me, you know, I get to educate and motivate people. And, you know, 25 years of owning Music World Entertainment and opportunity to work with some incredible artists, some that you named, and to teach young people at a college level, all of that just brings me joy. In a few minutes from now, I'm going to play some basketball with Jules, my grandson, who's at 13, six foot, wear a size 13 shoe at 13, and
what?
The boy can ball.
Oh my gosh, can he ball?
He can D-ball.
You know what? He can D-ball, huh? He is the baller.
He can D-ball.
Well, I'm very excited that you're here, and I must tell you, as a grandmother myself, I know my listeners are probably like, "What? Are you kidding?" Because I feel like I'm 25, but I can only imagine, and I can definitely relate to your joy of having grandchildren. It's nothing like it, especially when we see them growing up right before our eyes. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, I tell you, this past Saturday and Sunday, you know, Beyonce and Jay was here, and all the kids were, all my grandkids, all four of them. But to keep up and have two twins at 1 year old, one is trying to walk around and the other one's trying to put something in their mouth, and then the Blue Ivy's trying to dance for me. I'm like, this is a bit much. See ya.
And you know what they say about grandparents. I remember when I was younger, they always said that, oh, when you have grandchildren, you don't chastise them as you do your own. And I'm like, yeah, right. I'm going to get on them just like I did my own children. Will I have news?
Oh, yeah. You?
It's not that way. They can do anything.
Yeah.
And it's all cute. Absolutely. Well, you know, here on the True Purpose Development Show, Dr. Knowles, we definitely, as you heard, we are here to inspire people and to empower them just as you do in your day-to-day. And you have a powerful story. You've had great, phenomenal success. I just recently found out about your success as an author, which I'm very, very pleased to have the opportunity to discuss your literature and your writings. I think it's absolutely awesome. But in addition to that, before we get into that, I just want to, I like to talk about the journey a little bit. You have been a successful father. You've helped cultivate your children into bringing them into the life of their life's true purpose. How was it when you were raising your children? How did you notice that gift to bring it out in the way that you did?
Well, you know, it's never easy. I think the beauty that Solange and Beyonce and then Kelly Rowland lived with us for like 12 years, 14 years.
Wow.
So we treated her just like she was our child. You know, it's for me, it's to spend time with your children. And I was in a unique situation in that my former wife had we had a major hair salon. So on the weekends, as you know, that's when the hair salons are really busy. So, you know, I took care of the kids when they were young on the weekends and in the evenings, helped them with their homework and stuff because she would be at work still at the hair salon. But it's about surrounding your kids, giving them an opportunity to find that thing in life that they're passionate about. And that requires work. That requires, you know, take them to dance. See if they like dance. Take them to see the space shuttle. See if they like science. Take them to a play. See, you know, just finding what that thing is that they're passionate about and then surrounding them with a team of people. I always say that how do you know if your kid's not passionate? Then how you know is if you have to tell them to go to practice, then you know they're not passionate.
That's right. That's right.
So,
and I commend you for that.
That was it for me. It's interesting. I'm looking for a text I sent my grandson just yesterday because we were supposed to play basketball yesterday to work on his jump shot at 3 o'clock. Well, I got there. I got a call, and he's going to play with some of his friends. So we set it up for today. Then I get a text last night. He's not going to be able to do it. He's going to a football game. So I told him, I said, I get it. I said, I thought you were passionate about basketball, but I understand now it's just a hobby. So I get it. I'm not mad at you, but I'm glad you're telling me it's a hobby. So he texts me back. It's not a hobby, Grandpa. It's not a hobby. I told my friends, I'll see them later. I want to practice today.
And that's right. You have to get on them. Absolutely. I think it was another Alan. Is it? I'm bad with sports, but I saw his. What is it? Alan Ivey.
The basketball player.
Yeah. Yep, he talks of, you know, his mom did the same thing. She pushed for him, and she did what she had to do, and she put him out there, and he insisted he wasn't going, and she said, yes, you're going to play basketball. So we do. We have to give that to our children, and our children watch us in terms of our consistency and everything, you know. So
right.
I'm glad to hear that you are doing, you are being a great grandfather just as you were a great dad. So you have had a long tenure in the music industry, and you
I'm
had
still
great
in the music
success.
Industry.
Yes, I was going to say that. Where are you now in terms of the music industry and your time that you spend in that?
Well, you know, I have an office. I have 10 staff of 10 people. You know, I stop myself because they're not employees. I don't want the IRS be like, you said they were employees. I have a staff of 10 people.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, you know, I typically start around 10. Sometimes I work out of my home office, and sometimes I get here later. Some days I don't come at all because I'm blessed, I'm grateful. I learned something a long time ago. There's a real genius songwriter, and I asked him, what does he do all day long? And he says, I look out the window. And it took me a long time to understand what he meant by he looks out the window. And sometimes I just look out the window in terms of creativity and do nothing. And by doing nothing, I see things that I wouldn't see, or I think things like these titles I come up, like, you know, the DNA of Achievers, or Racism from the Eyes of a Child, or this current book that you didn't talk about, probably didn't know yet, but comes out on the 22nd, which is the emancipation of slaves through music. So, I mean, some days I just do that. I just look out the window and smell the roses.
Yeah, wow. That's called, I like to say that is very closely related to transcendental meditation. I was just telling one of my patients that. I said, just sit and be still and try not to think. Just allow for yourself to be present. And then after that, just be there and receive whatever comes to you. And in that, you find such resolution, such profound revelations in terms of where you're going next and what you're to do right now. So it's wonderful. We have to talk about that. We're going to talk about first. Let's talk about your first book. And I believe this was your first book. Let's talk about
the DNA of Achievers.
Of Achievers, 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. It's a wonder that you didn't write that. Tell us, how did that come about?
Well, that came about because I still do. I travel a lot. I'm fortunate these days and grateful that I don't fly coach. I get to fly in first class. And while sitting in first class, you typically are sitting with people that are successful people. And some of them own their own jobs, some work in organizations, doctors, attorneys, you name it. But as you talk, you know, people always sit next to me and they say, well, what do you do? And that opens up a dialogue that typically takes the whole flight. And what I found is the more and more I got to meet the person sitting next to me, there were the same traits that I got from them, and I said, you know, let me think about myself. Do I exemplify any of those traits? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, all of them I do. People around me that I know. So that's where I got these 10 traits, and it starts with passion. Passion is that energy, that excitement. You can hear it in one's voice when they're passionate about something. And that's what drives us. That's the first trait, is finding your passion, because what coexists with passion is work ethics. So you can't find someone that's extremely hard work ethics that's not passionate, and you can't find someone that's passionate that don't have these work ethics, because when you find your passion and you live your passion, you never work a day in your life. I'm not working today. I'm having a conversation and dialogue, and I don't consider it work. People see me on an elevator, it's almost like, what is wrong with you? And I'm happy, and I'm, I Now, I see, I get to live my passion. They're like, what's
That's
wrong
right.
with this guy? He's so excited and happy. Stop.
Yes, yes. I think, I know that passion, your vision is the key. And the journey is, well, I should say the passion is what helps you make it through the journey that you go through from one mountaintop to the next. And that's just period. So, yeah, you're right. Passion, willing to die for it, in fact. It's like nothing can keep you.
Exactly. And you said another word that's one of the traits. I don't know if you know it or not. And that is being a visionary. That's a mm-hmm. trait I've found of successful people. I can only tell you that when I decided to leave corporate America to get in this thing called music industry, that a lot of people thought I had lost my mind. Why would he do that? Why would he leave a six-figure job to go to the music industry? Why? Well, you know, another trait is risk-taking. You have to take
mm-hmm.
risk. One of the 10 traits I coined is called talk to do ratio.
Talk
successful
to
people,
do ratio? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Successful people have a high level of talk to do ratio. I'm sure you know people that say, oh, yeah, I'm going to call you tomorrow. Oh, yeah, let's have dinner. Oh, yeah, I'll get that report to you. But it never happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that's called a low mm-hmm. talk-to-do ratio.
Mm.
And then two more that I like. I guess I like them all because I wrote them. But learning from failure. You know, I've never learned from my successes. I learn from my mm-hmm. mistakes and my failures. And I say failure and mistakes are opportunities to grow, not a reason to quit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, I give people the example of this. Imagine being in a physical gym. And in a physical gym, we all go there with an intent to build, to get healthier, etc. But there's always this person that is in the gym, buffed up, and you want to be like that person. You're like, how did they do that? But they're the one that's in there grunting and sweating. And just about every darn time you walk in the gym, you know they're there. But in the gym, there are all these machines that are given to us for an opportunity to build this or that. And in life, the circumstances, the experiences that we have, they're nothing different than the machines. Each experience is given to us for us to build this or that, whether it's your courage, whether it's your mental, your, whatever it is, peace, love. You have an experience that brings you to a greater resolve, and you are exactly right that they're all opportunities. Pick one.
Yeah.
It's nothing to be mad about. You know what I'm saying? It's just beautiful. Wow. So You wrote these 10 points, and so literally in this book, it's more of like an inspiration to understand and to pay attention to those things that you need to pay attention to so that you can be a professional and you can be a successful professional.
Well, I went a step further. In every chapter, and so there's 10 chapters because there's 10 traits, I lead off the mm-hmm. chapter, and then I have three guests, highly successful people like the chairman of L'Oreal, the chief marketing officer of Amway, brother that's like over Jordan's shoes at Nike. I mean, that level mm-hmm. of success. And they tell their story. And I've found that's my style of writing, is that I like to have guests in my book. Just for me, it's exciting when I read, and I'm not just reading that one person's story. I'm reading other story. and seeing is there is any consistency or connection between them. It's kind of like when you tell your kids to do something, and then they hear somebody else's mother tell their kids to do the same thing. Then they say, oh, okay, well, maybe my mom's right, you know.
That's right. Your mom told you that too?
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Now, when we talk, we know that the stories in our life, that we're given the story so that we can have a powerful testimony. And you came up through an error that pretty much all odds were against you. Civil rights.
Yeah.
And in that time, attending an all-white school. Talk to me about that.
Well, I grew up in, first I was born in 52, so 1952, which was the heart and soul of segregation with George Wallace. It was an awful, awful time in Alabama. Not only did I have the odds of being black against me, never went to a black school, junior high, high school, University of Tennessee, all white until my junior year going to Fisk. But also I had a third thing, and that's was my family was poor. I lived on a dirt road with an outhouse for until I was about 16 years old. A dirt road and an outhouse. That's where I grew up. My dad made $30 a week. My mom made $3 a day as a colored maid. My dad convinced the owners of the company, he was a truck driver, to let him keep the truck, and he would then go tear down old houses and sell the metals and make money, entrepreneur. He would give you $20 for an old car, and then he'd sell all the parts. My mother, on the weekend, she would ask those white people she worked for, women, that could they give her all of their hand-me-down clothes and all of their sheets, whatever they had that was clothing, mm-hmm. Apparel. And her girlfriend would make these beautiful quilts on the weekend. So I learned entrepreneurship from my parents. I picked cotton.
Wow.
I picked tomatoes. Because this was the country. This was rural America.
That's right.
And that's what
mm-hmm.
I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. But my parents always taught me to aim high.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the same with my kids. If they aim low and made it, then I would be really upset. I would rather they aim high and didn't make it than to aim low and make it.
That's right. You know, you went through that. A lot of times when people, you know, when I speak to people, they have had different stories. Some of them, you know, living in a very dilapidated environment, not having the most fashionable clothes or going through a lot of lack more so than what the extent that you went through back in your day, and to have come through that, to have come through the civil rights, come through the struggle, you have a powerful story. So when you were growing up, at what age or what was your, okay, the struggle was your motivation, but at what age can you recall saying, I'm not going to be here and I'm going to be there. I'm going to do something. I'm going to go to this level. When did it wake up in you?
Well, it woke up to me in the summers, we call it the country, in the South where I grew up in Gaston. I would go down to my grandparents on my mother's side, a little small town called Marion, Alabama. What's significant about Marion, Alabama? Coretta Scott King went to high school with my mother. Jean Young, who married Andrew Young, went to high school with my mother. T.D. Jakes is from Marion, Alabama. Per capita, Marion, Alabama has still the highest level of education for black folks in America. Small place, but the number of people that are MBAs and PhDs are just extremely high. Actually, Alabama State University started in Marion. But I would go down there and I would see these people that motivated me with, and I would probably 9, 8, 9, 10 years old. Woke up one morning, my cousin would go down with me. It was a knock on the door. Well, my grandfather owned 200 acres of land.
Wow.
And he also was a moonshine distributor. And on this knock on the door one morning, two white men knocked on the door and they said, "It's Mr. Hogue here." And me and my cousin just had so much joy. We had never heard a black man be called Mr. And that's a whole chapter in Racism from the Eyes of the Child that talks about Mr. Hogue. He was my inspiration, Dave Hogue, because he had so much character and tall, 6'5", and he just had this unique way of motivating you. And that's when I decided I wanted to be like him. without the moonshine.
That's okay. It's all good, right? Because that was your motivation.
Yeah,
so
it's all good.
I think that's wonderful. So in Racism from the Eyes of a Child, you enlighten us in that of your life and how you came through. And so at that moment, you decided, I'm going to be like him. Did you know that you were going to be into music? Was that your passion? Or did you just see the passion in your children that brought you to that?
No, I used to look up with Gaston is the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, so we had hills. And I would look up in the clouds all the time, and I would say, I'm going to be a businessman one day. I didn't even know quite what a businessman was. I just knew I wanted to wear a suit. I wanted to wear a suit and tie, and I wanted to be somebody. And that was just always instilled in me. You know, my parents instilled it in me that I could be somebody. So I always was thinking big, thinking outside of the box, not wanting to be a box-in thinker and go with the crowd. Never wanted to do that because I was isolated as a kid growing up. The white people wouldn't invite me to their functions. The black people would beat me up if I came to the functions. So I was a loner.
Wow.
Because at a certain point, the term Oreo happened in America. And so those of us that had taken this unique risk, huge risk with our lives to try to make a difference, then our own people said we were black on the outside, white on the inside, which was extremely hurtful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you had to push past all of the perceptions, and you had to stay focused on your vision. Like, this is your,
right.
This is my vision. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it regardless of what people say about me.
Well,
that's
I believe
a major,
your mentality.
Major confidence.
Thank you. I believe your mentality creates your reality.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So you think, there it is. It's the most powerful tool that we have that is pretty much negated in terms of its ability and its ability to really transform your life and impact others the same way. So you are exactly right about that. That is something my organization, that's what we do. We have a mission to help billions reach their lives through purpose, but in doing so, we had to come to an understanding that it's through the children, through the eyes of a child. And if you transform the life of a child, you transform the world. They are
right.
the answer. And teaching them the power of vision, the power of mind, through some very wonderful key things, teaching them how to do a vision board and having them sit down and create. You'll be surprised. Most
right.
of us know what we're going to do later as a child. So I am very excited about your book. I want people to know about that. And before we get into our final parts of our conversation, would you like to say something to our audience?
Well, I always like to tell a story, and I always tell the story. I travel a lot, and so in L.A., I remember going down an escalator, and there was a nun from Mexico, and she had a jar that said, "Please give," and I've learned not to be judgmental. I give to it hurts, and everybody's level of giving to it hurts is different. But I gave, and the nun gave me a business card. And I have a habit that if you give me a business card, I'm going to put it in my pocket, and then the next pair of pants, I'm going to take it out and put it in that pocket and such and such. So it was about maybe 3 weeks later that I looked at the back of the card, and that's what I always like to share. And it said, "Pray not for a life free from trouble. Pray for triumph over trouble, for what you and I call adversity, God calls opportunity." So I want to say that again. Pray not for a life free from trouble. Pray for triumph over trouble. You see, most of us pray that nothing bad is going to happen. That's not realistic.
Yeah, that's not realistic.
Bad stuff is going to happen. Pray for when it does happen, that you triumph, you learn, and that a wonderful opportunity is there because of it.
Absolutely. Ah, I love it. And that's so true, because you're going to go through it. How bad do you want it? I tell people, we live each lifetime, one or the other, going from one mountaintop to the next. You don't
yes.
jump from one mountaintop to the next, but rather you must travel the journey. And that downhill is simply the process to get that we will go through to get to the next highest mountaintop in our life at that time. And we can't judge anybody. We're all on this journey. It's all how you respond. The path was created. It's how you act along the path, along the way. And higher the mountaintop, tougher the climb, deeper the valley. But you must make a choice to choose to go through to it. And don't freak out if you get to one mountaintop and you say, "Well, I'll be darned. What you mean I got to go to another one?" You got to get happy and get glad. And I believe, I'm so grateful that you did that. I am so grateful, Dr. Knowles, that you chose to take your journey. And now you're at that highest mountaintop that you will reign and for your duration here. And you did that. How did you feel? I got one more question. How did you feel when we got a black president?
I cried. I cried because I thought never in my lifetime, I thought maybe in, Beyonce and Solange's lifetime, but I thought never in my lifetime would, and growing up from Alabama and what I've gone through, that I would see a black president. But not just a black president, but a man who intellectually is just amazing, amazing husband, amazing father. Sound look like the boy can even play a little basketball. I like that.
Yeah.
But it's something that Michelle Obama said that I never forgot. Someone asked her, "Now that your husband is president, Are you frightened that he'll be assassinated? And her answer was, I'm more frightened when he goes to the convenience, if he would go to the convenience store and buy some gas as a black man.
Wow. That's deep. That's
yes.
deep. That's really deep. Wow.
And we're seeing
well,
it as evidence of that all around us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I was just talking to my son today, and he said, Mom, he said, hold on a moment. Police is behind me. And I raised my children in a predominantly white area in the suburbs of Michigan. And they didn't know to fear or think of those things. And I remember when I told him that I started watching the news more closely and I saw what was happening and I said, wait a minute, hold on, son, I need you to pay attention here. If by any chance you get stopped for speeding or anything, please, please, please don't be quick to reach for your wallet in the back seat. You know, my son would do that. He would have his book bag or something in the back seat and he would just be, oh, hold on, officer, let me get it. Please don't do that. My son was upset with me when I told him that a few years ago. He says, Mom, why would you do that? You've never raised us like that. I said, son, I just really need you to be aware. Please be careful. So he said to me today, a few years now, forward, he says, oh, Mom, I'm sorry. I need to get off the phone. I saw a cop near me, and my stomach's upset, and I just got nervous. That's sad.
Yeah.
So I understand exactly what Michelle Obama talked about. This has been absolutely wonderful, Dr. Noel.
Well, I've certainly enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. You know, it's always surprising because the first time that I ever talked to any, have an interview, people or do TV, people are really surprised. You know, And I'm doing more and more of it because for years as a manager, I always wanted my artists to be up front and I wanted them to shine. And I felt comfortable being in the background doing what I do. But as I've gotten older now, I realize that if I don't tell my story, he's going to tell his story.
That's right. That's right.
And
you
I don't
have
want
no
his
idea.
Story.
And
told. I
mm-hmm.
want to tell my story. So I surprise people because they don't know, you know, my level of intellect, my level of passion, my knowledge of certain things. And it's surprising sometimes.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, I made a point that we were going to talk about the positive because I know there's always a positive story and there's always a story. Period. That is different from what they say. I didn't even channel into that. I'm not going there. Let's talk about his life. Let's have a conversation. And that's where you get to meet people. You don't judge people. And we have a conversation, and that's simple as that. And I believe that
and
we are all
thank you
individuals,
for that.
And we're all, oh, no problem, no problem. We're all one at the end of the day. We are all one. And we're all on the journey. However we are choosing to travel it, we're all there. You're a star in your movie, I'm a star in my movie, and we're making it happen. Am I right?
You're right, 100%.
So listen, I don't know if you heard, but I would just so love, I'll have to send some information to your publicist because your story is so powerful. From way back from a child of going through civil rights and how your parents went through and still made it and how you made it, how you visioned as a child. And you've gone, I'm sure, far beyond the vision because the vision is only a minute aspect of where we really go. So you made it. And that story is so powerful and so strong. It's inspiring to someone who is in an area. It may not be Alabama. It may not be the civil rights movement. But, hey, we're in turmoil today. So many people are. So in those situations, they like to hear. And we bring in Bountiful Opportunities Group, our nonprofit, we travel into the high schools and universities around the world. They've spoken to thousands, and we continue. And we'll be in Africa next year, back in Africa next year in Abuja. I would love for you to send some information regarding our program about the transformation program and youth for the youth around the world.
Yeah, I would love to get that. I would love to understand that better. I'm actually, my wife and I will be in South Africa for 2 weeks next month, and looking forward to that. Going to Johannesburg and Pretoria, Cape Town. Then we're going to Zimbabwe on a book tour.
Awesome.
Quite frankly, so look awesome. Forward to that.
I would love for
my,
you to do that,
and that's
wonderful.
My assistant is giving me that look like I'm late for my next call. So
yes.
I do want to tell all your listeners they can go to my website, MatthewKnowles.com, and Matthew is spelled with one T, and they can find out all that I'm doing, buy my book, and I'll sign it, book me to
awesome.
Speak. You can do all of that right there, social media, the whole thing.
That
I've
sounds-
certainly enjoyed this. Thank you for the opportunity. Hopefully we can have a part two of this, because I didn't get to tell you through the journey and that it would take another interview. But what helped me through the journey was about 10 years of therapy. And I talk about it that in racism from the eyes of a child, because I wanted especially black men to the stigma that we don't need help. The stigma that something's wrong if you go to therapy, that's a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness. So we'll get to talk about that next time.
And also your latest book.
The Emancipation of Slaves Through Music.
The Emancipation. That's right.
So let's.
That's right.
I have
so
my publicist reach out, and let's do it in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, that sounds absolutely wonderful, and I look forward to it. Thank you so much, Dr. Knowles, for being here today. It has been truly an honor and a joy. I want you to have a
fantastic day. Thank you. Have a great
day.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, I am telling you, that was absolutely awesome. That was an awesome, awesome interview. Thank you, Dr. Knowles, for being here. We have some great, great interviewees that come on the show, and each time it's a phenomenal experience. One thing I can tell you for sure, Mr. Knowles definitely is an inspiring and empowering young man, and we are happy that he came. All right, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back after this.
Dear parents, much of what we learn in this world comes directly from you.
Whatever your message is, it will become part of us forever.
Please teach us to accept one another. Teach us to respect one another.
Please, do not fill our minds with hatred. Do not expose us to bigotry.
Do not teach us to judge each other
by race,
religion,
orientation, or the color of our skin.
Teach us the concept of tolerance.
Teach us to understand one another.
Teach us to accept people
of different cultures
and persons with different beliefs than yours.
Please help us to create a world
where every man, woman, and child is treated equally.
Dear parents,
please don't teach us words of hate.
We learn from you every moment.
If you use a certain word
which might be hurtful to others,
we will repeat that word.
Please don't show us acts of hate.
If you act against people of different faith,
we will repeat your actions.
Dear parents, we are your children.
And we are relying on you
to help us create a world where every person is tolerant of one another.
Hey, you guys, this is Dawn Robinson from En Vogue and Lucy Pearl, and I'm so happy and so proud to be a part of the World Peace True Purpose Movement. It's really something that the world needs right now, because there's so many people that are downtrodden, and they don't believe in themselves anymore. They don't believe in government. They don't believe in the church. They don't believe in anything out there, and they need to look to themselves. And so what you guys are doing with this movement is so special because it's very strong. It's very supportive of people. And it just reminds them of how strong they really are. And yes, I can do this. And yes, I can persevere. And the short time that we have on this planet, I can do something great with my life. And I'll be okay. You know, it's like a voice of reason out there that just says to them that everything's going to be all right. So I really am proud to be a part of this.
Welcome to the Moment of Inspiration. I'm Dr. Princess Adelia. Listen, life throws you a ton of balls, but you must decide which ones you'll catch. There are many of you that are holding on to things that you should let go. Not only such tangible things like relationships, cars, houses, and jobs, but also the intangible things in your life, like negativity, depression, hurt, adverse perspective, your thinking, poverty, and such. Life gives us choices. The choice to hold or release, change or not. I invite you today to make a choice to hold or grab hold of the ball of happiness, openness, joy, prosperity, positive thinking, and the like. The other ones, well, I suggest that you drop them like a hot potato. Let's start right now. Simply, I want you to declare, I am happy, and I denounce depression. I am open to receive truth, and I denounce deception, and so on. Are you ready? It's your choice. This is your moment of inspiration with Dr. Princess Adelia, here with a mission to help you birth a life of true purpose. Are you fit for the journey to true purpose? Well, knowing is way more than half the battle. So I invite you to visit spiritualpregnancy.info, bountifulgroup.com, and princessadelia.com. Thanks for listening, and I love every last one of you.
Welcome back to the True Purpose.
Be loving you, it's really all that's on my mind. back.
Drop and listen back. This is for the time you gave me flowers, for the world that is ours, for the moolah, for the power. Thank you enough. A woman in the street and a freak in a you know what. Sit back, it's a pregame show. Daddy, you know what's up.
I'm always looking forward to interviews, especially when you hear the media with their perspective and how they choose to take things left. I look forward to hearing from the horse's mouth and really having an opportunity to connect. We are definitely going to get Dr. Knowles back on the show as he desires and I desire to do a part two. And we're going to talk a little further about his life, his most recent book, The Emancipation, and we're definitely looking forward to that. So I am very excited about all that we've done over the past few years. This is our 10th season. Way back. We've come very far, and we've had a good time. And we're going to continue to have a good time today as we have taken the opportunity to spend some time in conversation with our wonderful guest. It's just about that time for us to get into part two, keeping it real with the doc. But before we do that, I just want to say something to go a little bit further. When it comes and from the discussion with Dr. Knowles, when it comes to your vision, your life, anything that you go through, it is all designed for you to take that, as Jay-Z has called it, those lemons, that lemonade, and to turn it into lemonade. No, the lemons to turn it into lemonade. Your life is a statement of challenge, growth, and development. It's a clear statement of how you persevere. You have to choose to stand and choose to block out all of those things around you that go contrary to the vision that you've created for yourself. It's really all up to you. as I said before, and I'll say again, you're the movie star in your movie. Script's already been made, and the creator is watching you play it out. It's okay. It's all good. Everything is in place for you, so there's nothing to panic about. You're going to go through some things. That's the way it goes, okay? But this song say, and that's the way it is. That's something back in the day, so you may not even know about that, but I'm telling you, hey, it's just the way it is. You got to boss up, stand up, regardless of what you're going through. I'm going to have a show one day, and I'm going to tell you about keeping it real, and I'm going to tell you my story. I might even go live for this, because many of you don't know that I've been abused, I've been homeless, I've went to jail for 10 days, I've had some experiences, I've been through it, and I made it out. I love what Dr. Knowles is doing. I love that he is maintaining his focus with his children and his grandchildren. And he's moving on, living his best life. All right? Let's get this party started. It's time for Keeping It Real.